Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by James Gattis Jewelers.
To reveal the full spectrum of its dazzling color.
Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everyone. 8:03 the time. Hour number two here on Sports 56 Mornings, the Tuesday, April 21st, 2026 edition. Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, and Jay Hamm with you. Broadcasting live and local from the Family Leisure Studios. At Family Leisure, they got the Hot Tub and Swim Spa Expo going on right now through May 10th. They're located at 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40. Currently 58 degrees, going to warm up to 81 today, sunny to partly cloudy, and then more of the same tomorrow and on Thursday with temperatures in the low 80s. Friday, chance of rain, chance of thunderstorms at about 90% currently. Saturday and Sunday, looks a little better than the forecast I gave you yesterday, but still a chance of precip on Saturday at 55, 25% on Sunday. We got a lot to do in hour number two. We'll talk NBA playoffs, three games last night, two surprises. Then Frank Bonner will join us at 8:25 on Memphis Tigers football. But it is Tuesday. It's time for Humdinger's Trivia.
That's right. Humdinger's Trivia, a chance for somebody out there to win a $25 gift certificate to Humdinger's, or you can go enjoy some of that delicious food that they've got. Of course, on Tuesdays, it's always Taco Tuesday at Humdinger's with their chicken and their fish tacos, just $2 each. That's each and every Tuesday that you can take advantage of that great deal, and it goes on all day long. On Mondays, they've got the special on their Humdinger shrimp appetizer. Fridays, they do the special on the crispy fish and chips. Any day is always a great day, though, to go over to Humdinger's and enjoy maybe some of the grilled fish, maybe one of the po' boy sandwiches, maybe the piri piri burger, whatever it is off that great menu. If you go to humdingersrestaurant.com, you can check out the entire menu. You can order online. You can get information about catering an event. You can do it all at humdingersrestaurant.com. But go by and see them. Poplar and Massey. Poplar and Massey. They're in East Memphis. That's where you will find all the delicious food at Humdinger's. And if you are the first to answer our trivia question correctly, well, then you will win that $25 gift certificate to Humdinger's. If you've won in the last 30 days, you are not eligible, and you only get one guess. So make sure you use it wisely. And you can answer via text on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener line at 901-360-8255, 360-8255. Text in your answers. And again, that first correct answer will get the $25 gift certificate. Here is today's question. I don't believe this will happen this year. I would be shocked if it did happen. However, when was the last time that in the NFL draft there were more running backs selected in the first round than quarterbacks? I need the year of the draft. What was the last NFL draft in which there were more running backs than quarterbacks selected in the first round? Again, 901-360-8255, 360-8255. Text in those answers on that Sissy's Log Cabin listener line. First correct answer will get that $25 gift certificate to Humdinger's. Last NFL draft with more first-round running backs than quarterbacks.
I like that question. Interesting. Last night, NBA playoffs, three games. The first game of the night, the Cleveland Cavaliers went up 2-0 in their series against the Raptors, winning 115-105. Donovan Mitchell, 30. James Harden, 28. Evan Mobley, 25. So they combined for 83. Brandon Ingram, the all-star for Toronto, yapping his mouth and struggling once again. 3 out of 15 from the field. That ain't going to cut it. And the Cavs take the win by 10. So no big deal from that one. But then, gentlemen, the second game, which was going on simultaneously with the first game, started a little bit later, but they had two games at once. And that was the Knicks and Hawks. And then, of course, the nightcap, the Timberwolves and the Nuggets. Let's begin with the Hawks and the Knicks. The series now even at 1 as the Atlanta Hawks go into Madison Square Garden, rally from 14 down, and beat the Knicks 107-106. A crazy ending to that game. Atlanta just kept cutting away at the deficit, cutting away. C.J. McCollum hits a fallaway jumper to give them the lead. Then you had the Knicks just having to go to Brunson. Nobody else would take the initiative, not even Karl Anthony Towns at first. They go to Brunson, and Brunson gets his pocket picked, and Atlanta goes up four. But then they come down, and Brunson hits the three, and they're back to within one. McCollum gets fouled. C.J. McCollum, who was terrific, 32 points leading the way. They're up 107-106. He goes to the free throw line with, 4 seconds to go? And misses both free throws. So the Knicks have a chance to win it. They don't call the timeout. It's Bridges.
They didn't have a timeout.
They didn't have a timeout. Okay.
The TV showed they did, but they did not.
Okay. Bridges puts up the shot at the buzzer, misses, and the Hawks survive and get a dub and do what they needed to do. They go into New York and they split the two, much to the dismay of the Knicks fans, including all the stars in the high rent district.
Yeah, it was it was funny because they going into the fourth quarter, they talked about how the Knicks are awesome in fourth quarters. They had like a historic scoring margin in fourth quarters this year. They were like 45-2 or something like that when leading going to the fourth quarter. They built it up about how great the Knicks are in the fourth quarter, and then they just have a disaster of a fourth quarter in this game. Cat was a non-factor in the fourth, and they go 5 of 22 from the field. But McCollum was awesome. It was so fun watching him just get into it. And just, with the fans, he's talking to Spike Lee. He's getting into it with his old New Orleans teammate in Alvarado. He just got super motivated and was like, I'm gonna figure out a way to win this game. Now he misses the two free throws at the end, which he kept talking about in the post game interview. But the dude, you could just that's playoff basketball though. it's playoff. Those guys, and this go that's why the Raptors, your stars have to be stars this time of year. And in that Raptors Cavaliers game, Mitchell, Harden, and Mobley were all good. Barrett and Barnes were good. Ingram was terrible. And those stars have to be stars this time of year. And McCollum just, you could see a flip. The switch just flipped, and he was like, we're going to figure out a way to win this game. It was so much fun to watch him.
The veteran leader of their squad, yeah. He is. And if you look up just an individual profile of him, his hobbies would include getting buckets. That man gets buckets. He's what I call a professional scorer.
He is a professional scorer. I don't understand why he hasn't been, revered more. He's bounced around. He's so good.
He doesn't have the accolades. That's why. He doesn't appear in all-star games. He doesn't make all NBA teams, but he can go out on any given night and give you 25-30.
I would love C.J. McCollum on my team.
Very much. They have seen that many times against the Grizzlies. That's for sure. But the thing, he was always second fiddle to Lillard.
Always.
So that he just got pushed aside there, and
yes.
Now he has bounced around a little bit. But no, he is. Yeah, you could tell he's all those young kids on that team. He was like, okay, I'll show you how this is done. I will give you guys exactly the blueprint of how you do these things. And he just was, it was on one there for a while.
I just think he's always been underappreciated. Where'd he come from? Lehigh?
Yeah, Lehigh.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Small school. He's terrific. I think he's been terrific his entire career. But you got 17 from Jalen Johnson. He gets you 8 rebounds. And then Kuminga, remember they picked up Kuminga from the Warriors, plays 35 minutes coming off the bench. He got you 19. But the Knicks, we've been talking about it with Karl Anthony Towns and with Jalen Brunson. And you said, Brunson can't be your guy. Cat's got to step up. Brunson is one of your guys, but he can't be the guy. And then down the stretch, you saw every single possession in those last 2 minutes. They're trying to get it to Brunson. Brunson gets double-teamed. He gives it up. He runs back. He gets the ball. Nobody else was being aggressive. Now, luckily, he hits that three coming off that hard screen, which may have been a moving screen, but he hit the three to pull within one. So that's why they keep looking for Brunson. But McCollum missed those two free throws.
Yeah.
And as you said, Eli, in the post-game interview,
Like, I don't even know if he wanted to do the interview. He reluctantly did it, but all he kept doing was shaking his head, and he knew he had to get it out, and he did get it out about missing those free throws. I'm going to go back and practice my free throws. That can't happen.
I mean, it can't happen. And that second one, he just completely short off.
Yes.
You know, it was like, you just didn't follow all the way through with that one. But the nerves of it, you know. But even with that steal, the job they did defensively in the fourth quarter on the Knicks was just fantastic. Where I was talking about Walker Alexander, where he hasn't, you know, he struggled getting his offense going. But the job that he's doing in stalking Jalen Brunson. Jalen's still getting buckets, but he's making that challenge.
I mean, Atlanta made all the moves. They got rid of Trey. And I'm looking at the roster. Ricochet was he the number one overall pick?
One overall.
Doesn't even play.
Right.
DNP. Buddy Hield. You know, he's a pretty good shooter, too. Buddy Hield. DNP.
Yeah, good veteran to have over there for
him. Yeah, but what I'm saying is Atlanta has found some dogs.
Well, that and Quinn Snyder's a hell of a coach. He always has been.
He is a hell of a coach. All right, so the Knicks lose. Series 1-1. I still think the Knicks will win the series, but Atlanta's got to be feeling good going back to their home court. Then the nightcap. What did we say yesterday? I know what I said, and I think you agree with me. I'm going, if this game is a little bit out of hand after a quarter, I'm going to bed. And early on, Denver setting the pace. I mean, Jamal Murray, I'm watching the game, he hit like two threes where he got fouled and made both of them. It was a laugh. That game was going to be an absolute blowout. I wake up in the morning, I go, what happened? Minnesota wins it 119-114 in Denver. We've talked about this one maybe being the best series out of all of them. They rally from 19 down. Talked about the rally from Atlanta from 14 down. They rally from 19 down. Ant-Man leading the way with 30.
The first quarter looked like Denver was going to run away with it.
Yes.
And then they just the second quarter was actually the exact reverse. It was 39-25 Denver first quarter, 39-25 Minnesota second quarter.
I wasn't up to watch.
To tie that at halftime, but again, the fourth quarter for the Nuggets, absolute disaster. Jokic and Murray combined 2 for 12. They go 8 of 21 overall. And you got to give Gobert a lot of credit. He talked about it after the game. He was clearly upset that he wasn't a finalist, wasn't top three defensive player of the year, made the comment about it after the game. But Jokic was 1 for 8 when guarded by Gobert in that game. So give Gobert his credit. I mean, that dude, that's a hell of a job to do that against Nikolai Jokic. I don't care who you are. Like you hold him to 1 for 8, you're doing something.
He was a little bit upset about not being able to be a contender to be the first 5-time NBA Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, I think I just talked about McCollum being kind of underappreciated. I think Gobert's been underappreciated as well. But, you know, it's funny. You talk about Jokic being defended really well when Gobert was on him. I guess Jokic did some damage against other people. Still, Jokic, maybe an off night, 24 points, 15 rebounds, 8 assists. He's still great, but he was 1 of 7 from 3.
He missed my triple-double play on the bet, so I'm a little upset with him.
So you're upset about that. Jamal had another big game. He had 30, Hardaway Jr., 16 off the bench. But Minnesota, man, Randall was big. He had 24. He got 9 rebounds and 6 assists. McDaniels had 14. DiVincenzo had 16. Nas had 11 off the bench. But Anthony Edwards, 40 minutes, 30 points, 3 of 11 from 3. Not great, but still 7 of 9 free throws, 10 rebounds for
Ant-Man. I wonder if the knee could hold up. I mean, they're playing him 40 minutes. I mean, he played, I think, 38 in game one. And I don't know that knee is going to hold up if they're going to keep playing him 40 minutes every game in the series.
If we think the top 5 current players in the NBA are all foreigners, right?
That can change from an hour.
Right, but I'm just saying, let's just assume that for a second. Giannis, in no particular order, right? Giannis, Jokic, Doncic, SGA, and who am I missing? Or just 4? Am I missing somebody? Obvious? Wemby. Right, let's just say those 5, right? Steph's still a great player. I mean, LeBron's still really great. Where's Ant-Man? Is he right behind those 5?
I think he can hang in that tier. Just like Jason Tatum could be a part of that tier. Jaylen Brown could be a part of that tier. Not quite ready to – well, he probably could put Cade there, maybe. It's a few that are on that tier. I don't think the best 5 is, like, always definitive. Yeah.
No, it's not always definitive. No, I'm just saying for this experiment here, I mean, a lot of people would say they are the five best, but you can can certainly mix and match, replace one with another. But the foreigners, no question, have started to dominate. Look at MVP awards and things of that nature of late. But I'm just looking at that next tier. Again, Steph and LeBron, you're never kicking them off your team, but certainly they're getting into the twilight, especially LeBron. Ant-Man, he's that next guy, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, especially when you're talking American-born. Yeah.
Yeah, and Tatum and Brown.
Jason Tatum,
yeah.
Brown, Cade.
Cade, this was the second year that, you know, last year he made, okay, he's good, and this year was the breakthrough year.
And one who probably I would also say is not, I wouldn't say underrated, but he kind of falls under the radar, Devin Booker, who's been around. He's always been consistent. Even when they had bad teams, he gets his numbers, but then when they put a team around him, they uplift. You know?
Yes, but Booker needs guys around him. Booker can't do it himself.
Well, all of them need guys.
Well, yeah, I mean... But
nobody's doing it by themselves.
No, true.
Other than LeBron back in
the
Cleveland
but
days.
I don't know necessarily if I'd have to come up with the combinations. Like, I wouldn't put Booker in the same position as, like, KD needed to go to Golden State. Well, yeah. I think KD still probably, it doesn't have to have Steph. Draymond, it's got to be a right combination.
He's
a
different type of assassin.
I think there's more of a combinations with KD that can win a title than with Devin Booker, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Here's the one guy, because I was thinking about this last night watching him play. Why don't we ever talk about Donovan Mitchell more amongst the great players in the league?
Me and John talk about
Cleveland.
That often.
He's in Cleveland.
Part of that
LeBron
is Cleveland.
Got out of there.
I think because when he gets in the playoffs, he delivers. But I think he's expected to do more, and I think it's kind of unfair because he's a smaller guard. Like I mentioned, he's just 6'1".
Right.
But he plays like he's 6'6", because he's got almost a 7-foot wingspan. And the things that he's able to do, he can change his narrative with this playoff run without
question. Well, Harden, even though.
Like when he was in Utah, to me, he's always delivered in the postseason.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. He's always done it.
I watch him and I'm like, I mean, he was awesome again last night. I'm like, why does he, like, you, when you talk about the top player, they're like, he's not even a thought. Like, nobody even thinks about Donovan Mitchell.
And also, I think it's how they go out in the playoffs, too. Like, remember before they put the people around them in. And this first year in Cleveland, they lost to the Knicks. And I think they lost to the Knicks in like 5. So when you get the gentleman sweep, it puts that bad narrative on you. Like you can't deliver, but he probably averaged like 25 or 30 in the series.
Yeah, he puts up his numbers. But now with Harden joining him, with Mobley, with Allen, and some of those other pieces they have.
I think they got a great chance to really change the look on how they're perceived.
And how he's perceived.
And how he's perceived,
but
and
if they
as well
lose,
as Harden.
But if they would, and they're going to win, they're going to beat Toronto. They're up 2-0 already. But that next round, that's going to be critical for him.
And it just, like watching last night, like Jalen Brunson is like love. Like everybody talks about how great he is.
New York.
But like Donovan Mitchell gets no attention. And like they're very similar. Like they're both awesome small guys.
New York, Cleveland, small guards. Similar style because they both like to get inside. They like to play within the within the paint, create their own shots. They can go inside out, multiple level scores. It's just how they're perceived.
Hell, we get more famous people in the front row in Memphis to watch the Grizzlies than they do in Cleveland. That's I don't know who's going to the Cleveland
and he's
Cavaliers
got,
games.
He even got a famous girlfriend with Coco Jones, and he still don't even get along.
Tonight, Sixers-Celtics. Boston a 14.5-point favorite. They're up 1-0. Trailblazers at the Spurs. Spurs an 11.5-point favorite. They're up 1-0. And the Rockets and the Lakers. Houston's a 4.5-point favorite. Does that mean KD's playing? He was shooting around yesterday.
That's probably what Vegas is telling us.
They got to be thinking that,
right? Time, it's probably a game time deal, though, too.
Of course, Lakers up 1-0 in that series. A couple other quick notes before we take the break. And on the other side, it will be Frank Bonner. Draymond Green on his podcast saying that he thinks the Steve Kerr era is over. He thinks Steve's going to end up retiring because Golden State wants him to sign multiple years, and I don't know if he will. The name that has popped up, one of the names, Todd Golden.
I saw that as well. It makes sense.
The University of Florida head coach.
I don't know if Todd will jump, but I would take a shot.
And then also, according to reports, the Bucks flew to Memphis to meet up with Taylor Jenkins, who is the odds-on favorite from Vegas to get that Milwaukee Bucks opening. But Taylor, yeah, still living in Memphis before his next move with his family.
Apparently it's supposed to be he and Giannis are supposed to meet. And they're clearly, like, he is clearly their target. And I guess they're just going to wait on Giannis's approval to see if that's he's okay with Taylor Jenkins.
Absolutely. All right. We'll take a time out. When we come back, we'll let you know. Do we have a winner?
We do not have a winner.
Ooh.
Yet.
Okay.
In our Humdinger's trivia.
What are you guys doing?
This one's not real easy. And a lot of people have gone to a year that it happened, but that's not the most recent time that it happened. Again, the question, the last time there were more running backs drafted in the first round than quarterbacks. The last NFL draft that in the first round there were more running backs selected than quarterbacks. The last time it happened. Text in 360-8255, 360-8255. First correct answer gets a $25 gift certificate to Humdinger's.
Frank Bonner from the Daily Memphian joins us next. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
You have opinions?
I think it's over.
Of course you do.
I don't think it's that simple.
Everyone does.
I got all the answers.
Hit us up on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener line at 360-8255.
Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by James Gattis Jewelers.
Don't you just love it?
Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
There is superstitious writings on the wall.
Welcome back, everyone. 8:27 is the time. Halfway home on this Tuesday edition of Sports 56 Mornings. Coming up in Hour 3, the Mick. Mickey Barker will be joining us at 9:05. We're still trying to get a winner for our Humdinger's trivia. What's going on? And Frank may know the answer, so he's ineligible to win.
I'd be impressed if anybody just knows the answer off the top of your head. But there's a lot of people coming up with 1 year where it did happen. However, it is not the most recent time that it happened. It is most recent time there were more running backs selected in the first round than quarterbacks in the NFL draft. 360-8255, 360-8255, text in those answers. Now, if you've already guessed, you don't get another guess to try and win. You only get one chance at this thing. But the last time there were more first-round running backs than first-round quarterbacks in the NFL draft.
We have been Hoosier heavy today. We spoke earlier with Connor O'Gara, and now it is time to talk some Tigers football. From the Daily Memphian, sports beat writer for University of Memphis Athletics, our good friend Frank Bonner, of course, with the Indiana Ties. You can follow Frank on Twitter at Frank_Bonner2. He joins us now on Sports 56 Mornings. Hey, Frank.
Hey, how y'all doing? I think I do know the answer. Ooh. To the question you guys are asking.
How about that?
Well, that makes one of us total, because I don't know it. Well, Eli obviously knows it.
I know it.
Yeah, but you don't count. But this, apparently our listeners don't know it either. So, but Frank, well, I'm not going to put down our listeners because they're very smart as well. But we know Frank is extremely intelligent. Frank, were you bummed that there wasn't the spring deal on Saturday? I mean, it's unfortunate the forecast was so bad. The weather ended up not being as bad as the forecast. But I know they're going to have something in August. But was it a bummer not to have something a little bit off the beaten path to cover?
Yeah, right. And then it would have been over in Simmons Bank. And so it would have been a reason to just get over there and you know, with the renovations kind of, you know, taking its next step towards finishing, it would have been nice to be over there and cover practice, so to speak, in that environment.
Have you not been over at all?
I mean, yeah, I've been over, but it's been a while. I mean, obviously you keep tabs on what's going on the live cam, but it's been a little bit since I've actually taken the drive over there. I probably need to do that sometime soon.
Yeah, I haven't been over there, and I only checked out the live cam like one time, I think a couple of months ago. I need to look at it. I heard, though, that the tunnel is impressive, and that's going to be so important for the university now that they own the facility, right? That they're running the show. They're going to bring in events outside of football to make money, a moneymaker for the university. And the whole thing with that tunnel was they had to be able to get those 18-wheelers in there for big events, for big concerts and things of that nature. So while I'm certainly going to be excited to see what's going on with the whole renovations and the suites and all that, I am very interested to see what's going on with that tunnel.
Yeah, right, because to your point, that will be an extra revenue piece that can be used for concerts. And I think even Ed Scott in an interview, you know, in a press conference a while ago, you know, mentioned like the monster truck shows, whatever, you know, whatever they can get in there to kind of monetize that stadium, since, like you said, they own it now.
Right.
When is it actually supposed to, like, when is the construction supposed to be wrapped up?
So there isn't, I haven't heard like an exact, like, this is the date.
Okay.
But everything that, you know, I've heard is it's on schedule to be wrapped up in time for the season, right? And so, like, that's kind of just the date that we've been given, is that it's on schedule ahead of the 2026 season. My guess is that you don't want to be, you know, you don't want to be going 2 weeks before the season opener, even though the season opener is on the road. You don't want to not have it done, you know, 2 weeks before then. And so, like, I think my guess would be end of July would probably be somewhere around the goal date. I mean, and then nobody's told me that, but that's just my educated guess.
Well, it's certainly going to be exciting for everybody. I know they're selling those suites very, very well. I mean, the one floor is sold out. The other floor, they're doing really, really well. I don't know how what all comes into play as far as the other seats that are going to be there and the party deck and all that, and who can get in there, who cannot, you know, who can't, who's restricted. I have no idea what even the total capacity will be after it's all said and done, but I'm just excited. I know people are. But they're also excited about a new direction with this team. And while the football team has certainly done very well and did very well under Ryan Silverfield and has been doing very well over the last decade or so, it hasn't reached the promised land. Did not reach the promised land under Silverfield. And that's where Charles Huff comes in, that he's hoping and confident in himself that he can help take this team to that next level, make it to the conference championship game, and hopefully win some conference titles for this Memphis football program. But it's baby steps, Frank. And you have this first big recruiting class for Coach Huff. You had the portal and what he brought in. And right now it's just we don't know. You were out there at all the practices for a limited amount of time at each practice. Have you come up with any kind of conclusion on any area of what you were able to see? I mean, from quarterbacks to positions or anything else that will tell you that, yeah, there's a lot of chance, a lot of possibilities that this team can be really good.
Yeah, right. In the spring, it's hard to tell because they're doing, you know, they're doing installs, they're running things against each other, right? I mean, I will say that you see the talent, right? Like you see the individual talent out there on the field, but you don't really know yet how that's going to mesh together when they line up and they play against UNLV, they play against Boise and some of these other teams, right? And so I will say that you know, when you hear the talent of who they recruited and you hear what the coaching staff is saying, right, like you do see that. You just don't know yet if it's going to all mesh together. Mm-hmm. There's no reason to believe that it won't, but you don't really know until you know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but do you see? Yes, and nobody knows that, and anybody who says they do. We were talking earlier about the preview magazines that come out real early. It's like, well, you better hope Coach Huff gives you some answers, because I don't know how you can even guess on what this team will do. But from your observation, do you see the speed, which what Coach Huff talked about at his introductory press conference? With their offensive coordinator, he talked about the speed and going wide. Did you see some semblance of that? Did you see size? When you look at that team, do you see a big offensive line, big defensive line? Like, what are your observations from just being over there the limited amount of time you were?
Yeah, right. I mean, to your point, they made a point to get speed. You do see the speed. Honestly, even in if you look at Hunter Tipton, right, the tight end, the transfer from Middle Tennessee, you look at him and he looks like a big-bodied receiver, right? And so I know when you see speed, you don't necessarily think tight end, but just to see how slim he is, as a tight end, he looks like, I mean, if you line him out there on the outside, you would just think he was a big body receiver.
Right,
so,
right.
I think that just looking at him at that position, that kind of tells you where they plan to go in terms of speed, right? Even the bigger position looks a little bit leaner. And so, yeah, I think, and, you know, they got guys like Alante Brown, who's known for his speed at the receiver position. And so, yeah, you did see some of that out there. Obviously, you see the quarterback still battling. The top candidates are Aaron Nolan and Marcus Stokes. But, yeah, I think the name of the game for this particular offense would be speed.
And you mentioned the quarterbacks, and obviously that's always the number one question with any football team. And we got a couple of texts that say, hey, ask Frank about the quarterback position. Coach has already talked about the fact, obviously, the battle is going to continue into the fall. But do you see either one of them with an advantage right now?
Well, I'll say this, that the advantage that I always thought even before spring started, I felt Marcus Stokes had an advantage just because he has the experience of leading a locker room, leading a team, although it was Division II, but he's been a starter mm-hmm. who has led program, has led offenses in game. And so I always thought that because of that, Marcus Stokes had the leg up, and I still believe that he does.
You wrote about Stokes, and without having to go into what happened at Florida, of course, he was a four-star coming out. So was Aaron Nolan, a four-star coming out. And I think your point's well taken about the experience that he has actually on the field playing in games. But what did you come out of that interview? What were your thoughts of Stokes after having a chance to go one-on-one with him?
Yeah, well, for one, like you said, not getting too deep into what happened about not going to Florida, that situation, he didn't make excuses for it, right? He owned the situation. He owned the consequence. He didn't, he didn't feel like, I'll just say he wasn't making excuses for it. Like, he took that on the chin, and he said he was better for it and so on. And so that's number one, right? Number two, just talking to him and talking to his high school coach, Colin Drass, his personality, it came out in our interview, I can see why his personality would be easy to win a locker room in terms of his outgoingness. I think, even Huff talks about that in terms of who's going to win the quarterback battle. It's not just on the field. It's how they get the players to do extra reps and so on like that. Marcus Stokes seems like a guy who is easy to galvanize around. And so I think that's also important for the QB outside of just the play on the field.
Yeah.
One of the things that Coach Huff talked about, I think in his opening press conference, was on the defensive side with a different system that they're running, they needed different personnel. Do you believe he's got the personnel he needs to be able to run the defense they want to run?
I do. And I think, personally, I think Ian Foster at the nickel spot is going to be as good as we think he is, right? A lot has been said about him. And I think he is going to be a stud in that nickel spot. And then you obviously have, guys like Tapp and Mike Montgomery at linebacker, Tapp at D-line, and they all came from Southern Miss. But, yeah, I do think – and that's the other important piece, right? Like, to your question about, having the right guys on the roster, he brought in some foundational pieces from his previous stop in those three guys that I named and then kind of brought in other pieces around that. But I think – those foundational pieces at each level, right? D-line, Jamon Tapp, linebacker, Mike Montgomery, DB, Ian Foster. Like, he's got, each one of those studs that he knows he can count on even before mm-hmm. coming to Memphis. I think that's an important piece is trying to build what you're trying to build for your defense.
And he's got some built-in leaders. There's no question. Frank Bonner joining us from the Daily Memphian. You can follow Frank on Twitter at Frank_Bonner2. He's joining us on the Sissy's Log Cabin guest line. I mentioned this a few moments ago that the Tigers acquired a junior college player at linebacker, a guy by the name of J.J. Clayton. I'm not sure how much you know of him, but do you think that's something of just depth? I need another linebacker. Let me bring in another linebacker through the portal.
Yeah, right. I think that if you have, in this stage of college athletics with football, especially with the reduced roster limits that they did recently. Like, if you have another roster spot to bring somebody over, I mean, you almost have to, right? You know, for the depth and the attrition. And so if you can find an area where you can, you know, build a certain room, and if you got the roster spot to do it, you have to as a coach if you have that room and that flexibility.
So the practices I went to, and you were at all of them, but I went to about four or five of them, I was very impressed with the recruits that were there. And maybe I just don't recall everything from past coaches and practices I was at. And I've seen recruits before games. But they were there every time I was there. And there were lots of them. And I think Rodney Salisbury has a lot to do with that. And that's why Coach Huff brought him in. But what's also interesting, if you recall, Frank, Coach Huff, again, this was the breakaway presser that he did with all the media after his introductory press conference, that he doesn't really rely on the incoming freshmen that much. He went ahead and went through the commitment of the Ryan Silverfield recruits, and I think it was, 16, 17 guys that he has that are true freshmen? But he said, like, in a normal year, he said it would probably be about 10. Didn't he say that, if I'm not mistaken?
So, yeah, right.
Yeah, he's depending on him, but not depending on him as much as maybe some other programs. I don't know if that means he's depending more on the portal, but it's interesting that he said that, and yet every practice, man, there were a lot of recruits there, and I think that's fantastic that that's happening.
Yeah, and I think to your point, right, because one thing he did say is that, you know, just because he said what he said about the number doesn't mean that he's not going to recruit the area, right? It just has to be the right fit for the program and right fit for the player. Well, if you want to have your pick of the litter in terms of which guys you want, those relationships with the high school coaches has to be strong. And I think, and it's not just the high school recruits, right? It's just he's went out of his way to try to embed himself in this program into the community in many different avenues as he can. And it obviously starts with the high school programs and the coach. And so, I think that's intentional. And I do think that just because he doesn't plan on taking 15 to 20 high school kids every year, that he is going to lack the effort into getting into these high school programs. Because if you do have a guy you want that guy to be like, oh, yeah, I saw Coach Huff around, you know, since my freshman or sophomore year.
I've been to the foundation.
Yeah, right. And so I think he's handling that part very well. And to your point, Greg, I noticed the same thing. I was like, wow, in terms of the recruits and stuff that are practiced. So it's not just you're spot on with that. I noticed that, too.
Quality over quantity, right? I mean, you're trying to get the best of the bunch if you can get them to Memphis. You may not need 20 guys, but 10 really good players that you can keep at home, that's important. That's extremely important. All right, so a lot of answers to questions we'll find out not until August. A lot of off-season now, conditioning, workouts, meetings, and things of that nature. We'll talk, I'm sure, periodically as we move forward, Frank. But, yeah, the schedule you and I have dived, we have dove into that before. I think it's going to be formidable. We'll see what this team can do once camp is over with in August. And, again, we'll find out, I would imagine, here sometime over the next couple of months about the Fan Fest, which will be rescheduled, I would assume, Frank, sometime in August during their practice?
Yeah, honestly, I think that's the only time you can do it, right? Because, you know, spring was over. You only got those 15 practices for spring. You're not going to necessarily do a sanctioned practice for fans and stuff in the summer. So the only time that it really can be is during fall camp in August.
That's right. You're not going to do it once the season starts. So, I said earlier, I can't wait. I do like the fact that there's a little mystery to this team. We don't know just yet. You'll go to the meetings, I'm sure, right? You'll go to media day or days, whatever they have this year. And I'll be interested to see how the voting goes down for this American Conference, because there's not only question marks with Memphis, there's question marks with a number of teams, including Tulane, South Florida, and North Texas, who all have new head coaches. But we'll talk more about that as we get closer to that time, I'm sure sometime in July. He is Frank Bonner. He covers the University of Memphis, specifically football, for the Daily Memphian. Follow him on Twitter at Frank_Bonner2. Frank, as always, thank you so much.
I appreciate y'all.
Take care.
Folks, whether you're buying or selling a home, you want to make sure you have a realtor on your side that knows the market and is going to make sure that everything goes well for you. Well, call Bubba Sandifer, Emmett Baird Realty, 901-319-0747. If you're buying a home, he will make sure that he helps you find that perfect home at just the right price. If you're selling, well, he'll take care of that for you for sure. You can either, if you're looking to sell it real quickly and just want to get it off your hands, well, he'll buy it as is for cash. But if you're looking for top dollar, well, he will make sure he gets you maximum exposure, serious buyers, and real results to get you that top dollar for your home. Either way, you come out a winner, whether you're trying to get rid of it quickly or you want to make sure you get top dollar. Bubba Sandifer at Emmett Baird Realty will help you do whatever it is that you're looking for. 901-319-0747 is the phone number to talk to Bubba. Again, at Emmett Baird Realty, whether you're buying, whether you're selling, whether you want just a fast cash offer, give Bubba a call, 901-319-0747.
You're tuned in to Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Let Bryant Dacus and Brett Norsworthy take you home every afternoon. Sports Time on Sports 56, weekdays from 3 to 6 here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by James Gattis Jewelers.
Diamonds are forever!
Woo! Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
So we still do not have a winner. I thought we'd have one by now, so I will give you a hint here in just a moment.
This will be historic, by the way, Jay Ham. We've been doing this for a long time. We always have a winner.
You don't give hints often, huh?
No.
No, very rarely.
Usually somebody figures it out pretty quickly. Don't ever have, there's been a couple of times where I've had to give some hints.
Well, let me ask you, what was the year that they were guessing the most that was wrong?
Well, let me get to that in a second.
Okay, all right.
Again, the question is, when was the last time there were more running backs selected in the first round of the draft than quarterbacks? And a lot of people have texted in with the answer of 2008.
Yes, that's the one I was thinking.
2008 was a very running back heavy. There were five running backs drafted in the first round that year. So, yes, there were more running backs drafted in the first round than quarterbacks in 2008.
Two of them from the University of Arkansas.
However,
that was McFadden and Felix Jones.
It has happened more recently than that. So 2008, while yes, it fits, it is not the most recent time that it happened. So I will tell you that it has happened, that the correct answer is sometime post 2008. In 901-360-8255, 901-360-8255. You can text in, and if you've already guessed, well, you don't get another chance. But text in at 360-8255. Last time, more running backs in the first round than quarterbacks. And again, it is after 2008 that it happened. That is your hint that I'll give you. Jason Munt says that Mike Davis will be the next head coach at Mississippi Valley State.
Good for Mike. Thought he was going to retire.
Is it good? Have you seen Mississippi Valley State's basketball program?
No, but I know. I don't know what Mike's done with his money all these years, but it's some money. I don't know what you get paid at Mississippi Valley State.
Last time they won double-digit games was the 2011-12 season.
The guy's obviously a lifer. He wants to coach.
Last time they won more than five games was the 2018-19 season.
Let the kids play.
Oh, they're going to let them play. They're just never going to win.
I mean,
because they don't.
Not exactly. Like, Duke wasn't open for Mike Davis. That ship has sailed for Mike Davis as far as a big time program. And he's been Indiana, former coach with the Hoosiers. Mike Davis had a great career.
It's kind of like what Tubby was toward the end. He just wanted to teach and coach.
Where was that high point?
Yeah.
Yes, I think that's a great comparison.
I think that's just what
it is. Yeah, I really think so. Hey, by the way, yesterday at the Boston Marathon, repeat winners from the year prior. Men's, women's winners?
Kenyans.
Both Kenyans. See? If you bet, ladies and gentlemen, if there was something on the books that you use where you could bet any Kenyan to win and you made it a parlay with the women, you were a winner. You're welcome. The Canyons, man, they're unbelievable, man. It's unbelievable. There are cars. Some cars don't go as fast as those guys and women.
Or hold up as well.
That's true. NFL news. Eli's kicker with the Cowboys, Brandon Aubrey, is going to be a very rich kicker. They finally reached a deal. 4-year extension. $7 million per. $20 million guaranteed. Highest paid kicker in NFL history.
Very much deserved. He is, it's and pretty amazing that go from not playing college football to becoming the highest paid kicker in the history of the NFL.
Jerry Jones opened up his checkbook. Didn't think he would do it for a kicker. The guy's a weapon.
No, there's no doubt that they were going to get that deal done. You can't. I mean, that guy, it's absolutely amazing. Unbelievable.
Did you see the other day that the UFL, there was a trade with Matt Corral being traded?
I did not see that.
Yeah.
I know there's some issues with the UFL right now. Some players are calling him out saying for whatever reason that the league won't let them sign with the team they want to sign with.
Really? A.J. McCarron, the former Bama quarterback who played for, I want to say St. Louis maybe, is the coach of Birmingham. Although Skip Holtz is still there. Like, he was on the sidelines. I was watching a little bit of the game. They're not good, but Matt Corral got benched, and then he got traded a couple of days later. Where was he traded to? He was traded for Dorian, what's the guy that used to be with the Browns? Thompson?
DTR.
Yeah, he got traded for DTR. I didn't know DTR was in the UFL. So it was a UFL trade involving Matt Corral. Man, Matt Corral went from what, first-round pick with the Carolina Panthers? Wasn't he first round?
Corral, I don't remember. I'm not sure. Can't remember for sure what year he or what where he got drafted.
I mean, we talked, I don't know when it was, about busts. Matt Corral, sorry, you got to put him in that category, don't you? I thought he was going to be really good. But the way you play.
He was a third round pick.
Okay. So, you know, maybe not. Well, he didn't make it, but he's a third round pick.
He was the last pick of the
quasi bust.
Last pick of the third round.
Why didn't I think it was the first round? But either way, third round is pretty high for a quarterback, and it just didn't work out. I thought it would. I liked he was a gamer. But I guess when you play with reckless abandon like Corral played, those kind of guys, it's very tough to survive.
Well, he got hurt immediately.
Right.
Missed his first season.
That's
all right,
what I'm
we have a winner.
Oh, congratulations.
We have a winner.
The streak continues.
Finally, somebody came with the correct answer. The last time that there were more running backs selected in the first round of the draft than quarterbacks.
Give me the name of a running back that was drafted. We'll see if we can come up with the year.
Well, I'll tell you, there were three running backs drafted. There were two quarterbacks drafted. Among the running backs were Ryan Matthews and Javid Best.
Javid Best, was he Cal? Or West Virginia, one of the two.
He was Cal.
Okay. Javid Best, West Virginia, 2012.
That is incorrect.
Earlier or later?
I already know the answer.
You looked it up?
Yeah.
What year was it?
2010.
Yes.
Well, I was close.
2010. You had Sam Bradford drafted number one overall. The other quarterback drafted, Tim Tebow. Those were the only two first-round quarterbacks that year. Best, Matthews, and C.J. Spiller were all drafted in the first round as running backs. And that is the last time there were more running backs than quarterbacks drafted in the first round. Again, I don't think that would possibly happen this year because I don't think Price, the other running back, would possibly get into the first round, even if Ty Simpson falls out of the first round. So probably a good chance of being the same amount, but not more running backs than quarterbacks this year.
It's not crazy, but I think you're right. But Simpson could fall out and then get that second running back from Notre Dame and Price. Those three running backs, Spiller was okay for a little bit, right? Best, I don't remember him doing anything.
It's a little spark early.
What about Matthews?
Matthews had a
okay career?
Yeah. Couple thousand-yard seasons.
Yeah.
Then, of course, Tebow.
Right.
Man.
So congratulations to our winner. We will be contacting you, letting you know how to get your $25 gift certificate to Humdinger's.
If you are planning on popping the question sometime this year, looking to get engaged, you want a beautiful diamond engagement ring, James Gaddis Jewelers has them for you. They've been in existence for 60 years serving Memphians and Mid-Southerners, and they have all types of variety with the beautiful natural earth diamonds and the lab-grown diamonds as well. They have a price point to suit everybody's budget because they understand there's a lot of competition out there. All their diamonds are independently graded and certified. James is a diamondologist. He's graded by the Gemologist Institute of America, the credentials you want in your jeweler. So head over to the James Gaddis Jewelers for those beautiful diamond engagement rings, wedding rings, personally designed wedding sets, or any other jewelry need. You're looking for a present, an anniversary gift, a birthday gift, a graduation gift. They have watches of all types for both men and women. They have all the birthstones. They have your necklaces and bracelets and earrings and pendants and all kinds of estate and vintage jewelry. They're always adding to their collection, plus antique jewelry as well. Open Monday through Friday, 10 to 5, Saturday, 10 to 4, closed on Sunday. When you stop by, tell them you heard it here on Sports 56 Mornings. Tell them Gaston sent you. They won't kick you out. Believe me, they're going to help you out. James Gaddis Jewelers, 4900 Poplar between Mendenhall and St. Nick, and on the web at GaddisJewelers.com. The Mick joining us next to open up Hour 3. We'll talk some golf with Mickey Barker. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Join the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin, for Wolo and Friends. Weekday mornings from 10 to 11 here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.